Father, we just thank you, Lord, as we come together, Lord, that you're here. Father, already we sense your holy presence among us. And Father, we just pray, Lord, that you just stir our hearts. Father, our theme this year about being on fire. And Father, I pray, Lord, that you stoke the fire in every heart of every person that is here today, Lord. Wherever we see the fire, whether it's a flickering flame, Lord, whether it's gone cold, Lord, whether it's a raging inferno, Lord, that we will stir the fire that's within our hearts, Lord, this day. So, Father, we open our minds, our spirit, our heart, Lord, to your word, Lord, that you'll speak to us and impart into each and every one of us today, Lord. We pray that in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Amen. Just to forewarn you that at the end of the message today that we're going to be filling in these little heart-to-heart forms. So you'll get, if you hadn't get one of these, you'll have the opportunity to do so later on, and I'll explain what that's all about, which most of you should already know, but we'll be doing that a little bit later on in the service. And so even as shared around communion about prayer for those that we know that don't love the Lord, we're going to really commit something. Don't fill it in now. I don't want to see anyone writing it down, but just hold on to it, and we're going to really saturate that in prayer as we come up with those people that God has impressed upon our hearts that to lead into his kingdom. Our theme for the year is on fire, and we're really talking about being on fire for the Lord. And for some that there may be in your own heart, there was a time where you were just so passionate and so full on for the things of God that he was your all-consuming passion. He was the focus of your life, and he filled your heart in every way. But maybe for some that fire has gone down. It's because of circumstances of life. It's because of the pressures. It's because of all sorts of things and every sort of reason that we can think of, and many, many things that we can do. But at the end of the day, we are responsible for the fire that's within our own heart. And the intensity of that fire doesn't depend on anyone else. It depends on each and every one of us. Our relationship with God is up to us. It's between us and the Lord, and we can't blame anyone else. We can't say, oh, it's because of this or that. It's because of what this person did to me. It's because of my health. It's because of this or that. The fire that we have and the passion that we have for the Lord is entirely our responsibility. And so that's our theme for this year, about being on fire for the Lord. And our prayer is right across this year that we are all going to be so on fire for God that it's not only just obvious to the Lord, it's obvious to every person that meets you, every person that's in your life. They can see that you're on fire for the Lord, that when it's spoken of you at your funeral, which you one day will have, unless the Lord comes before then and we're all taken up with him, unless the Lord tarries, but we're all one day we'll probably have a funeral, and will it be said of us that they were just so on fire for God? Or will they say that they just settled into the mediocrity of normal life and everyday living and somehow wanted what the world has? Remember what I've said to us, you're not a normal person, don't seek a normal life. You're a supernaturally empowered person by the Spirit of God. Don't live in mediocrity. Don't live like everyone else. Don't seek what the world seeks. Don't want what they want. Want what the Lord has for you, that you be everything that God has made you to be. God wants to stir our hearts. I want to talk about on fire. I want to talk about wildfire this morning. It's only about 8 years ago we had the horrible event on the 7th of February 2009. So it's about 2 or 3 weeks anniversary. 8 years ago when we had those Black Saturday fires. And some of us, if you think back a little bit earlier, we might remember to the Ash Wednesday fires, I think. And then to go back a little bit further, some will think if you've been around long enough, you think of the Black Friday fires, were major fires that caused massive devastation, huge amount of devastation. Now, the Black Saturday fire was one that was a tragic fire. Over 173 people lost their life in that fire, the worst disaster we've had in that way in this state in Victoria, and just a horrendous thing that happened on that day. And the fire that was in Kilmore East, that fire alone, 120 people died in that one fire, 173 all up. And so fire can be a very destructive thing. It's a very powerful thing. It's an explosive thing. It started with a couple of different things, started fires. There was electrical wires started the main fire, the Kilmore fire, which was the biggest fire, and then another one that was sparked by that. Some were sparked, coupled by arson up in Bendigo Way and different places. But basically what happened is there was this massive fire. They had these pyrocumulus clouds, with this fire clouds basically, which goes up kilometres, burning fiery cloud in the sky, and that spread fire everywhere else. And such a powerful thing. Fire is a very strong thing. It's a very powerful thing. There are many references to fire in the scripture. You read the Word of God, you read the Bible about fire. Many times when God talks about fire, he talks about it in a judgmental way, in bringing judgment. And we know the ultimate judgment is for everyone who doesn't come into relationship with Jesus Christ is to be in the eternal lake of fire. We know that. And so, but there is a sense that fire, and certainly the sense that we're talking about, is in a very positive sense. But I want us to understand, with the destructive intensity of fire, just natural fire that we see and have heard and witnessed and read about, that the power of the fire of the Holy Spirit in your life is 100 times more powerful than whatever the force we've seen unleashed in nature, because it's a supernatural power of the fire of God that is within each and every one of our heart, and whatever level that we have allowed that to be within our own heart. James 3:5, there's a scripture, and again, it's talking about in a negative sense. It says, consider what a great forest is set on fire by a small spark. Just takes a little bit of fire, just takes a little spark. Here it's talking about our tongue. It's talking about our language, what we say, what comes out of our mouth, and that we can cause a lot of trouble by just saying a little thing. If we say a negative thing, if we gossip, if we've got a negative spirit or negative heart, and it can be very destructive. It says, how much damage can you cause with your mouth? And we're all aware of that, because we've all probably experienced that, or you've seen that, or maybe you surrendered your mouth and maybe your mouth was part of that. I don't know. But I'm not talking about that in a destructive, negative sense today, about the power of fire. But I want to talk about how powerful it is that what is within you, if we just allow that to be used to ignite in the heart of others, how powerful that would be. And that's really what I want to focus on today. Particularly, we're looking at our heart to heart and coming to that a little bit later on, to having that heart. One of the things for fire to ignite with such a power, as certainly was experienced on those Black Saturday fires, is you have to have the right conditions for that. And it was like there was a conjunction. There was like certain things that had come together at a point in time, which led to the most horrendous fires we'd ever experienced. And I don't know whether you remember back then, but it was over 45 degrees in Melbourne on that day, on that February the 7th. It got to 45.3 degrees. And so the conditions had to be right for something to happen. And so the conditions were, humidity was down to about 2%. That's how dry it was, if you remember that. And we had such a long heat wave, a long sustained heat wave that dried out all of the undergrowth, all the bush, and so the conditions were certainly right. We had fires, winds of 125 kilometre winds, and so you put all that together, you've got conditions which were unprecedented, really. They actually knew this was coming, and they issued all sorts of warnings. They had people, all the fire crews, on standby, ready, because they knew something was going to happen, because they saw the conditions were right, that something was going to happen, something that of an immense size and force. And what I want to share about us is really about us sharing our faith, and about us having the fire of God within our own heart and igniting that into other people's hearts. And what I want to say to us, for every one of us to realize that in the conditions are right. The conditions are right for there to be an explosive and a powerful, not a negative damaging way, but in a life-giving way. Not fire that brought death, but a fire that brings life, the fire of the Spirit of God that's born in every heart and man and woman of us who surrendered our heart to Christ. That the conditions are right for there to be a massive wildfire that just spreads. And I want us to know and understand that. Jesus made it very clear that the conditions are that everything has come together for something. And he made it very clear. And Jesus said in John 4:35, he says, don't you have a saying? And this is the normal way of thinking. Isn't this the normal mentality? Isn't this the way most Christians think? Isn't that the way most people think? He says, don't you have a saying? Don't you have a mindset? Isn't this how you think about things? It's still 4 months until harvest. And we think that. We think the conditions aren't right. We think this is not a good time to be sharing my faith with someone. It's not a good time to be doing that. And we have all sorts of reasons. But it's a mindset. It's still 4 months, this time. It's not the right time yet. It's the wrong time. And many of us think that way. We have a saying, it's the wrong time. It's not the right time. Don't you have a saying, it's still 4 months until harvest? I tell you, this is what Jesus tells us. I tell you, open your eyes and look at the fields. They're ripe for the harvest. You've got a saying. I've got a saying. I've got a mindset. You've got a mindset. Our mindset is the condition isn't right. And Jesus says, do not say that. Do not think that way. Do not have that mentality. Don't have that. I tell you, open your eyes and look to the fields are ripe for the harvest. The conditions are right now for there to be an explosive wildfire of life, of hope and love and grace to be spread right now. The conditions are right. But we say, oh, Pastor Chris, but you know, I've tried to speak to them before and just doesn't seem to work, doesn't seem. And the Lord would say, do not say. And you might say, yeah, but look, they've got their own faith. You know, they believe in some other God. They have another religion. And the Lord says, do not say. And we say, but look, I just, you know, I don't always have the opportunity. And look, if I do that, they might not want to talk to me. And I might say the wrong thing. And I might turn them off. And I might. And the Lord says, do not say. Don't say. Don't make excuses. But we've all got that mindset that it's the wrong time. It's the right time. It's the right time for wildfire to spread. And the conditions are right for those fires. Everything was aligned. Everything came together. And we've got to understand that the Lord is bringing everything together. Things have come together. Things are there. But we always make every excuse. Oh, but we've got to break out of that. We've got to break that mindset. We've got to break it. We say it all the time. And every time we make an excuse, the Lord says to us, do not say. Yeah, but look, no. Do not say. Do not say. It's the right time. The conditions are right. It's ready. It's ready. Everything has come together and it's ready. Ready for wildfire to spread. Don't make the excuses. Do not say. He says, open your eyes and see. And we need to open our eyes and see conditions are ready. And so there are right conditions for wildfire, for the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ to be able to spread. And don't make excuses. Don't say, yeah, but well, there's no buts anymore. Do not say. Do not say. Do not say. Don't give any other reason why. It's ready. The conditions are right. Now, if the conditions are right for a fire that's going to spread, you need something else. You need a fire source. And as I said, for those horrendous fires that brought death, we're talking about fire that brings life and not one that brought so much destruction and so much pain and heartache to so many. We're talking about a fire that brings hope and love and grace and life to so many. But there needs to be a fire source. And so what is the fire source? And some of us are praying, Lord, just, you know, send your fire from heaven and ignite people's hearts. But I tell you that the Lord's already provided the fire source. And that fire source is within you. It's within your heart. We have that fire source within us. The conditions are right. And there needs to be a fire source. And we have that fire source. It says in Psalm 104 verse 4. He makes winds his messengers. Flames of fire his servants. The word servants there is the same word used many, many times through Scripture. The first part, winds his messengers. Messengers, the sense there is like angels, sending angels out, like winds sending out his angels. But as flames of fire his servants, the same word servant there is used many times. People that minister, people that serve. You know, Joshua, he was the same word used for Joshua as he was, Caleb as he was serving Joshua, Joshua was serving Moses. Same word servant there, just a servant. And we are servants of the living God and we are the flames of fire. We are the fire. You are the fire. And see, the problem for us is that, for a start, many of us don't see ourselves as that. We don't see that we're the fire. We're actually praying for someone else to be the fire. But God has caused us to be the fire, the one that's going to cause the spark that will ignite the life of those around and each and every one of us. He's made us the fire, but we don't see ourselves that way. We see ourselves like this. We see ourselves like we're trying to light a match, but it's in pouring rain and it's dripping down and I'm trying to light a match, trying to bring some fire, but it's pouring rain. And what I'm trying to write, it's like it's the person's life is like a pile of logs and it's all wet and soggy. And that's how we see ourselves. We see ourselves trying to light a fire in a rain. We see everything is soggy and saturated, and that's our mental image, and that's why we don't actually apply the fire that we have in our life. That's why we don't be the fire, because we have the wrong mindset. We look at the conditions wrong. We think it's pouring with rain and everything's sodden and there's nothing I can do to ignite that. We've got to change that mindset. The devil loves that mindset. It's a defeated mindset. He wants dominion over people's lives. And as long as we think that, as long as we see ourselves as, I've got a soggy match, it's riding a soggy box of matches in the pouring rain and trying, I'm never going to do anything. We've got to break out of that mentality. We are the fire source. You are the source of fire. Stop praying for someone else to come and speak to your relative. Stop praying for someone else to talk to your neighbor. Stop praying for someone else. Be the fire. You are the fire. The fire of God is within you. You've given your life to Christ. There's a fire. For some of you, you may have let that wane down. Well, this year is about fanning that in the flame. But I tell you, as the scripture says, consider what a great forest is fire, but sitting on a small spark. You might say, oh, look, I'm really struggling in my relationship with God. I'm not really that passionate about God. And I've allowed every other excuse. I've made many excuses. I let that fire going down. And rather than being bright and burning and strong in my heart, all I just feel is like there's a little flame. And sometimes I feel like it's this little flame that's just flickering in the wind. And it does. That's enough. It just takes a spark. You don't even need the full flame, actually. It just takes a spark to ignite something. To ignite someone's heart for the love of Christ. And that's who we are. And that's how that quote that we have there on the banner. Get on fire from God, from John Wesley. Get on fire for God and men will come and see you burn. If we are on fire for God, there is something attractive about that. There's something that will draw people to us. They're drawn to that. They look at you and say, there's something different about you. The way that you respond to pressure, the way that you handle crisis, the way you deal with change, the way that your outlook on life, the way that you think about things, the deal with things, your attitude, all of that, there's something different. I see something within you. There's something that draws me, and I'm not sure what it is. And it's not because of your own personal charisma, because we might not have any personal charisma, but we have the person of Christ within us, which is a compelling, drawing force that draws all men unto him. And so we have that fire within our hearts. But then we have to do something with that fire. So first of all, understand that you have a fire within your heart, that you have a fire within you. And the Lord wants us to utilize that fire. Don't see yourself as not having that. Don't think, oh, it's just raining so much on me. Whatever your circumstances, it can't touch that fire. You can let it wane down. Life cannot extinguish that. Someone else cannot extinguish that. The devil definitely cannot extinguish that. You can let it wane by not stoking the fire, by not putting fuel on the fire. You can let it go down. And as I said, this year is about let's getting on fire for God. But you don't have to be a raging inferno to start something amazing, to touch someone's life. You don't have to do that. Just that, whatever you have, I don't have a lot, I don't have much at the moment, that's enough. It's enough to start something, to start a wildfire, a fire that rages and touches people's lives, as I said, not for destruction, but for life. But we have to do something with the fire that's within us, and we need to apply that. And as I said, part of it is changing our whole mindset. You're thinking about it wrong. You think the person's not ready. You think the circumstance are ready. You think you're not capable. You think you're not good enough. You don't think you have the right words. You're articulate enough. You can't express it. You can't explain it well enough. Fire doesn't need a big explanation. You start a fire, it starts. Because there's forces that are there. And as I said, the conditions are right. You have the power of the Holy Spirit within you. You have a fire that's within us. We just have to apply that fire. We need to ignite that in the heart of other people. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, it's one of my favorite passages, a very powerful passage. And And there's a many, many powerful scriptures that are actually in this passage. And we talked about being ambassadors for Christ is one of those ones. We talked about, for 7, about living by faith and not by sight, and other areas that it's a great little passage. But there's another verse here in this passage, in verse 11 and 14, and it says, "Since then, we know that what it is to fear the Lord." So since I know I've got a fire within my heart, since I know that it's there, whether it's a little flickering thing, whether it's a raging inferno, whatever it is, since then, we know what it is to fear the Lord. We try to persuade others. And so I actually do something about it. I care enough to do something about it. For we try to persuade others. And down to verse 14, it says, "For Christ's love compels us, because we are convinced that one died for all, and therefore all died." We've got a conviction about our faith. It's not a game. It's not something we do on weekends and have fun doing and come here and just go off and then leave a life of mediocrity and the sameness. We're not like that. As I said, you're not a normal people. Don't seek a normal life. It says Christ's love compels us. See, there's something about the fire. See, sometimes when that fire is a little, you're saying, "Oh, this little fire, I'm just trying to warm myself. It's enough, just trying to keep my own heart warm." But it's not just for you, the fire that's within you. And that you created, as we said, about what it means to be everything God created us to be, as we covered that over the last couple of weeks. One of our purposes is that we've been made to stand up and declare and decree the good things of God, declare His purposes, to see people come into His eternal kingdom. And there's a compulsion that's within us. Once that fire is there and you start building up that fire within you, it says it compels us. The compel is a strong word. And you know, we were saying something is a compulsion. It's almost involuntary. It's something that you just got to do. Now, people use that excuse for sinning. You don't got to sin. You choose to sin. That's a choice. The scripture makes it very clear. No one can say, "Oh, temptation was too..." No, I chose to. We can't ever use that excuse. But here he's talking about love, Christ's love, not even your own love. Not even your own love for Christ. This is Christ's love himself. The love of Christ within you, not your love for Christ, but His love within your heart. Christ's love compels us. And so when there's a fire there in my heart and it's burning, I can't sit idly by and just watch people around me that are going off to oblivion. There's a compulsion within me. It's Christ's very love, His love, not my love for Christ, but His love in me that compels me and draws me that I might want to see others come to know Jesus Christ, to come into a saving relationship with Him. It's a compelling force. It does something within us. Jeremiah describes it in this way. "But if I say..." So if I make the excuse, this is what he's saying. If I try to make the excuse, "If I say I will not mention His word or speak any more in His name..." So he says, "Look, I'm not going to do that. I don't feel like it. I'm busy. I've got this, I've got that, I'm going through this and that." So "if I say I will not mention His word or speak any more in His name, His word is in my heart like a fire shut up in my bones. I am weary of holding it in. Indeed, I cannot." And so when that fire is there and built up within his heart, he's saying, I can't hold it in. I can't hold it in, because that fire that's within your heart, it's not just for you. It's for every family member that you have. It's for your workmates, your schoolmates. It's for your neighbors. It's for your friends. It's for those that God has strategically connected in our lives. And as we stoke that fire more and more, we just can't keep it to ourselves. We can't keep it to ourselves. We need to do that, to apply it. And as I said, it's to be able to apply that fire, And Christ's love compelling us to do that, is to change our mindset first of all. Know that you are the fire that is needed. Know that. Whether you think you're a raging inferno or your little flickering flame or a little coal that's nearly gone out, it's not going to go out. It won't go out. But maybe we need to fan that, and that's it, as we're talking about this year. But it's enough. It's enough. What you have now is enough to start something incredible, to ignite something, to see your family, your friends, your neighbours come to know the Lord Jesus Christ, that He's going to be the Lord and Saviour of their life, so that they have fullness of Christ within their heart and their life. It's enough. it's enough. And once we start to apply that fire, and so we begin to speak, he says, if I say I'm not going to speak, his word in my heart is like a fire. Get the word of God in your heart to begin to speak out. Have the courage to do that. Don't see them and say, but, yeah, this is all good, but. And many of us are struggling even right now when we talk about it, when we talk about reaching out to people, because we have a saying that 4 months until the harvest, we have a mindset, and there's a fight, there's a grapple that goes on, but we've got to break through that and break through that today, because we need to be able to spread that fire that's within our hearts. You do have a fire. And you're not standing in pouring rain with a wet match in a wet box of matches trying to light redwood. You have family and friends, and the conditions are right. They are dry. There's a dryness within their heart. They don't have the river of life. They don't have the light of Christ. There's a dryness within them. They are ready. They're highly combustible material. They're not this soggy box bunch of logs that we think of them as. And the conditions are right. Because the Lord has gone before us. He's made a way for us. He's empowered us with the Holy Spirit. We are full of His fire and His life within us. It just has to be, the connection just has to make. Something just has to happen to spark. And then, boom, that fire starts. And you never know from that fire. You lead your workmate to Christ. And I praise God for the workmate that led my father to the Lord. He spoke to him and shared and got him to come to church. Came about 4 or 5 times, finally gave his heart to the Lord. And because of him, I'm here today. Other people are going to be in eternity because of what happened there. But that there needs to be that application. And so that we needs to take that step of faith and to open our mouth and begin to talk to people and tell them, say, oh, but I've done that. No, do not say, because last time when you spoke to them, you saw them as not interested. You saw them as someone who was hard-hearted and closed and turned off and not wanting to really know about the things of God. And maybe we tippy-toed up to them and we were our little soggy box of matches, and maybe we did flew a little one out of it and nothing happened. Maybe we did it again with our little mindset, our soggy box of matches, and threw a little match and we ran away. Oh, no, look, I've tried speaking to them. Look, they're a really hard case. I've tried. It's because my approach was wrong, because I saw them in the wrong way, first of all. I didn't see, hang on, they're dry. They're desperate for the Lord. But in my mind, they didn't really need the Lord, or their life was full, they weren't interested. That they were there. And maybe the way that I saw myself was wrong. I felt so inadequate in trying to share with them and try to speak. I don't know the right words to say. And what are they asking me? I don't know. But not realizing that the Lord promised, he said that even if you stand before kings, people that might intimidate you because of their position of authority, he said, I'm going to give you the right words to say. And so if I changed my mindset and I saw them as combustible material, and I saw myself as a source of ignition as I'm powered by the Holy Spirit, and then I had the courage to take a step and begin to talk to them with a different mindset. Say, hang on, there is a receptivity here. And if I approach in a different way, then the spark can come. It takes courage to do that, but it takes a change in mindset. You change your own mindset, by the way. And the way that we change the way that we think is obviously we get into the Word of God and allow Him to wash over our mind and to change our thinking. But we need to challenge our own thinking. We need to challenge our thinking. Too often we just take every thought and every attitude and everything. Then, no, hang on. That's not what God says who I am. I'm not a useless wimp that doesn't know anything. You actually know far more than you would ever realize that you know. And the life of the Holy Spirit within you is so powerful and so wonderful, and the love of God that is within your heart. It's what's desperately cried out for. And so we can make that approach with a different mindset, a different point of view, and be able to see that and not hold back. Not hold back. Once you change the way you think about this, you won't want to hold back. You think, hang on, they're ready, conditions are perfect, I have what's needed, and I'm just going to put them together and allow God to do an amazing thing, and you will be blown away by what God does. And so it spreads. The other thing is that when that horrific fire we talked about, You know, what happens is one fire, but, you know, it blows and starts, fires begin starting. What started out as one fire, then another one, hundreds of fires started. And that's why hundreds of thousands of hectares were burnt in those fires. But see, you don't know when you ignite someone, you don't know what's going to happen from that person, that out of their life, there could be that cumulus cloud, that pyro cloud that rises up, this cloud of fire that comes up out of their life because they're so ready, so right, so the conditions are so perfect. And just that little touch of yours, a little, maybe not feeling so confident, but just a little pull, off it goes, and then fire spreads. Spreads very quickly, very easily, but we need to put it all together. And 2 Thessalonians 3:1, this was a prayer. It says, as for other matters, brothers and sisters, pray for us that the message of the Lord may spread rapidly and be honoured just as it was with you. It's supposed to spread rapidly. And what makes the word of God spread rapidly is understanding the conditions are right. It's us understanding who we are, that we are that source of ignition. Stop praying for someone else to be the source of ignition. Be the source of ignition for that. And then actually put that source of ignition within the heart that is dry and ready, within the conditions of perfect and which they are. Do not say, don't make any excuse, do not say. And we put that together, we see lives changed. Now, Scripture always tells us our approach. You know, Peter 3 talks about, I think it's the 14 or 15 around there, it talks about that when we speak, that when we're asked to give an account for the faith that we have, that we do this with gentleness and respect. And so we're going to do that. We're not going to go there and get a fiery thing and just start whacking them around the head. I'm going to approach them in a gentle way, a courteous way, a respectful way, but just people's lives. What we're going to be doing now, and we're just going to take some time now, is we're going to actually identify some people. Now, we're going to pray for this heart-to-heart as an important part of the life of this church. And as part of the process we want everyone to be stepping into and through is that we are reaching out to people that are within our lives. Now, if you don't have one of these, just put your hand up. If you didn't get one when you come in, keep your hand up high. Keep your hand up. The stewards are going to give you one right now. If you need a pen, you can also give them a little wave. They've got pens as well. So thank you, stewards. They're ready and on the ball to give these out to you. But what we're going to do is we're going to, before we write anything on this, before we do that, we're just going to spend some time praying. Because we want to pray that, first of all, we begin to change our mindset. Some people, you've written them off because they're too hard. They weren't too hard. I just didn't understand the conditions. I didn't understand that. I made an excuse. Maybe I said, I started to give a, hey, but they're a hard, and do not say. Whatever excuses you made in the past, cancel those. Do not say. And maybe you felt, look, I can't really speak to anyone. Just change the way you think about yourself. Know that God has placed you there. God strategically put you there because he knew this person needed an ignition source. And so he gave them one. He gave them you. Don't be praying for someone else to save them or to lead them to the Lord. He gave them you. He gave them you. That's the Lord ringing to tell us we're going to pray in a moment. All right. So we know that. And so what we want to do is we're going to come up with a list of maybe two or three names. We're going to watch this clip in just a moment. We're going to put up the clip. And we're going to watch that just explaining a little bit about the heart to heart. So, but just keep your hand up while we watch this clip. Let's just run the clip, guys, so we can run that.
Heart is all about God's heart for the lost, our heart for the people we know, having heart-to-heart conversations on spiritual matters, or simply just having a heart to invite people. Heart to Heart is not an outreach program. You are the program.
What we want to do now is to make a list of people that we can reach out to. Start with people that you have some sort of connection with, not just too many, maybe just three or four, and keep that list in your Bible or maybe on your smartphone, on your fridge. You can even give a copy of that list to the office so we can even join with you in praying for those people. But make a list, identify the people that are in your life, your circle of influence that you can reach for Christ. Write down their names, and then we're going to talk about in the next session how we can really begin to pray for them
and then look at reaching out to these people that we want to influence, that they can be part of our legacy, that we can see them come to faith and then even lead others into a relationship with Jesus Christ. So it's important that we pray for people that we've listed down, those that we're in a relationship with whom God has strategically placed in our lives, that they would come to know the knowledge of Christ. But also, it's very important to pray for opportunities to share our faith, to pray that our eyes are open and not miss the opportunities that God presents to us.
Okay,
heart to heart.
As you know, last year we did the heart to heart course, explaining all that in the grow groups. So what we're going to do in a moment, I'm going to pray for us first of all. So don't fill this in. If you fill it in, don't worry about it. Just hold it for a moment. We're going to pray, and then we're going to identify people. We're going to write this. This sheet has two places to it. Both halves are the same, actually. So you write a list there, which is you're going to keep, and then there's one that you give to your grow group leader. Why are you giving a copy of this to your grow group leader? Well, because your grow group is going to pray for people on your list. Each week, the grow group leaders will get somebody who'll bring out their list, and then the whole group pray for everybody that's on your list. So it's great to have other people praying with you. If you're not sure who, hang on, who's my grow group leader? Have a look at the back wall, on the back door there. Have a look there, different places as grow groups. Grow groups have started and going really well. If you're not sure who that is, just check it out. But give it to your grow group leader, because they'll pray for that. Join with prayer. So that's in two halves. So it's as simple. You just once you've written on it in a moment, you just tear it in half. And you can give one half, keep one half to you, put it in your Bible, put it on your fridge, wherever you want to put it, other one to your grow group leader. But we're going to pray because we want people, we want to pray for our mindset first of all. Because if you already started filling it out, you may be filling it out with the wrong mindset. You might have filled it out with the mindset that you had before you arrived this morning. Let's fill it out now with a different mindset, knowing the conditions are right, knowing that they're ready, they're ready to receive it. And I'm going to. I know that I am the fire. I'm that combustible. So that ignition point that's going to ignite their life and heart. God's going to help me do that. So let's just pray. Father, we just come before you now. Father, I just pray, Lord, that we're going to lay aside every mindset that we've had in the past. Lord, because we've all done it. We've all said it's 4 months into the harvest, Lord, and whatever excuse that took for us, they're too hard, or they've got their own religion, or they're this or that, or I've tried before, or I've done this and I've done that. Lord, I just pray that you cancel that in every mind, every objection, every reason, every excuse that tries to rise up within our heart, Lord, while we can't touch certain people, Father. Lord, I just pray that you just cancel that in Jesus' name. Lord, you died for every single person. And Lord, your word says it's your heart for every man and every woman to be saved, every child to be saved. And so, Father, we just want to cancel those restrictions, those things that we've put up and said it's too hard. Lord, we cancel that in Jesus' name. And, Father, where we've looked at our own life and felt so inadequate, Lord, that we cannot do this, Lord, I pray, Lord, let us see ourselves, Lord, that we have the fire. We have you within our life, Lord. And just a little spark is all it takes, Father. I pray, Lord, that you'll help us to change the way that we think about ourselves. And so, Father, even as we begin to compile a list, Lord, we just pray for your Holy Spirit to lead us, to impress on those two or three people, Lord, that you've placed with us within partnership, with relationship with, strategically placed us with, Lord, as a school friend, as a workmate, as a neighbor, as a father, as a wife, as an uncle, as an auntie, as a grandmother, grandfather, Lord, however you've placed us in a family situation, Lord. Father, let us see ourselves, Lord, as we have been put there with that express purpose, Lord, that we would be constructive and bringing ignition. And so, Father, we just come to you now, Lord. We just pray, Father, Lord, that you just speak to each of us. Lord, we all know people that don't know you, or maybe people that have wandered from you, Lord, and maybe let that fire go out, Lord, and never really had that fire. But, Father, as we just come before you now, Lord, I pray by your Spirit you'll drop into our heart these ones that you want us to reach, Lord. And I pray, Lord, that as we do this in such a way, Lord, that we're not going to do this and chuck it in our Bible, but, Lord, we're going to actively and willingly look for opportunities, Lord, to see something ignited within their heart, Lord, that we'll invite them to church, Lord. We'll invite them to a cafe night, Lord, that we'll, Lord, that we will sit down with them and maybe over lunch at work, Lord, and just begin to open up about the important things in life. Whatever it is, Lord, whatever situation, Lord, Father, we just commit ourselves, Lord, that we're going to be a partner with you, Lord, partner with your Holy Spirit in this. So we're not going to make excuses. But Lord, we're going to be ready and available. In Jesus' name, amen.